Get into a real estate of mind right here with Think Realty Radio, hosted by Abhi Golhar. Breaking down the latest market news, tips, and strategies, Abhi Golhar is nationally recognized for his real estate expertise. It's only on Think Realty Radio, and it starts right now.
Think Realty Nation, it's your host, Abhi Golhar. Welcome to Think Realty Radio. Today, we're talking about how you can build your portfolio, the outlook of the real estate market, what single-family rentals could mean for you as you're building your portfolio, the use of technology in property management, the industry today, how is it impacting investors that are looking seriously at SFR, and of course, property management as a business. Today with me on the air is Lucas Krause, president of Real Property Management. And if you break that down, that's RPM. Is that like a subliminal thing, Lucas? Probably, because I'm thinking RPM, like vroom.
I think it's a convenient coincidence. But we'll take it as intentional. We might as well get credit for it.
Hey, might as well. I like it. So, Lucas, welcome to the show. Really excited to have you. Give me a little background, a little intro on who you are and what you do.
Abhi, thanks for having us. Lucas Krause, president of Real Property Management. Our whole business is about managing single-family homes and small multifamily complexes for investors who are really looking to generate wealth as leverage, you know, investing in real estate. And so we provide a turnkey solution so that we remove all the headaches and hassles that come from owning rental properties.
Mm. So when you talk about hassles, and a lot of investors listening and business owners listening, I mean, I get emails all the time saying, hey, you know, like I have $25,000 or $50,000. What do I do with it? And I want to get into the single family rental space. My go-to answer for these folks is, one, you want to find out the type of investor that you are, your risk tolerance, your investing personality. And then more so, you want to know what the red flags are of any type of asset class you want to invest in. You talk about some of these struggles and some of these things that investors have to go through. What are some mistakes, before we get into your background, just a real quick question. What are some of these mistakes that you're finding investors, new investors make in the SFR space related to management?
Well, I think it's really picking up properties that are troubled assets. So they maybe they're in a troubled location, not a good school district, or really needs a lot of work, you know, work, and you're not overly handy or good at coordinating work or have great relationships. And so they get into it because it's a great deal, but haven't done their homework on really what the market will bear and what that will be able to rent. And so those troubled properties, often we have those situations where we'll get those assets from individuals because they're struggling to find a solid resident or even getting it rent ready. And we have to help, and that's going to cost because they didn't, you know, the homework wasn't done on the front end, and good management can help, but it can't completely correct maybe a ill-purchased asset. And so that's kind of the common mistake. Some of the others is trying to take it on yourself and not do the appropriate screening. So you buy the asset, you do it well, and then you put in a friend, a family, or someone you know and you just trust and you think you trust, and now you're in a situation where they're upside down on the rent. And we get a lot of those where individuals are in a place where we're having to clean up a situation where, you know, the resident's in the rears quite a bit and, you know, have to go through the eviction process, and maybe they didn't have a lease in place or even a solid lease. And so there's some cleanup elements that happen there. And so those are kind of the most common that that we get it kind of pulled into.
I do have another question for you about how investors can kind of get started in this, but I'm going to wait on that for a second. What did what made you decide? What kind of like, what was that irk in you that said, hey, I want to get into this real estate investing game to begin with?
Honestly, I just looked at the macro space. And so I came into this around late 2011 and just became enamored with kind of this whole segment. We were becoming a nation of renters as you looked at going through the Great Recession, and you looked at these returns that you can get on investing in properties and also just being on the property management side, looking at it as very compelling. And, you know, it's hard because you look at it, right, as an illiquid asset. And, you know, I know about the security of buying in a mutual fund and things like that. Mm-hmm. And this is a little more complicated. And so you have to there's this demystification process that has to occur so that you truly understand it. But when you understand what you can extract from real estate, the appreciation, the principal getting paid down, the cash on cash return, and then you get into the tax benefit with the depreciation, it's usually the most compelling thing in your portfolio. And it's funny how we still go through this today with individuals who have properties, may not be fully extracting the value from it. And so once I've kind of, you know, peeled back from the onion and understood, you know, more of the value you can extract on the investing side, I've become very enamored with it and just a big advocate for the space. And I kind of preach to everyone out there, I'm like, if you're not buying real estate, you're making a big mistake here right now, because there is a huge opportunity in front of all of us.
So it's funny. You have those guests that like just automatically line up next topics, and you're one of those guests. So I do want to talk about this opportunity in a second as well. When you think about the most common misconception people have investing in real estate, what is that?
Ooh, I think it's quick money, because you see a lot of people making wealth in real estate and they might be on paper and they're heavily levered. I think they don't realize that there's a lot of work behind the scenes to make sure that you're buying well, you've done your due diligence, you know what kind of the market rents are, what kind of repairs you'll need to make in an investment. I think often people just kind of jump into it, and because it is such a great and attractive space, without doing their homework. That to me is probably the most common, or getting a trusted advisor or tapping into resources like you bring to the table, Think Realty, and getting well healed on what it means to own it. It's kind of the joke, right, of owning a dog or owning a car. You're like, okay, here's what the sticker price is, but you don't realize all the other costs associated with that. And so you almost glamorize the potential returns because you don't understand all the repair, maintenance, and work that comes onto it, and even vacancy time that you might have to you know, manage through.
So what's interesting to me when we start going down the path of the decision it takes to start, and you realize that, okay, you got to invest in a hard asset. You can't just invest in a stock, bond, mutual fund only. It's not like this world is easy. What you really need is a team to help you execute so you can focus on whether it's building more capital, finding additional investors, and then, of course, finding the deal. A lot of business owners out there now, Lucas, they're thinking about their house, the home they live in, and they're probably thinking, okay, I have a little bit of equity built up. The market's been good to me over the last couple of years. Let me take out maybe a second line of credit, maybe the HELOC or maybe a second mortgage, something like that, borrow from somebody, and then use this to get started investing in real estate. How common is that of a practice for some of the investors that you work with? And do you advise folks to do that or not do that?
It is a pretty common practice of taking, you know, cash out loans or kind of refinancing those assets as equity gets built in and allows them to scale up. I think it's a great strategy as you can amplify what your returns are, but I think it's a little more of an advanced strategy in getting your model dialed in and getting a track record of success before going into it. So I say that with understand, I look through the lens of I'm probably a little more conservative than most. So to me, I see it as a great vehicle to amplify your returns on, you know, getting leveraged returns. But at the same time, I think it'd be appropriate to have a certain track record of, okay, I know my kind of what these properties yield and kind of my model and have my support team before you kind of take on additional debt. Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, I think folks who have probably a greater risk tolerance would probably start that a little earlier, but it is a great way to lever up because, as you know, the levered returns versus unlevered returns, they're not even the same neighborhood.
That's right. We got to go to break. When we come back, I do want to talk about the opportunity that exists in SFR right now, single family rental space, and of course, some of the markets and trends that you're finding that we as investors, new investors, can utilize to our advantage. We're on Think Realty Radio with Lucas Krause from Real Property Management. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Abhi Golhar after these messages.
The key to success in any industry is having a network of skilled professionals who can help you do your job effectively. The American Association of Private Lenders believes that with better resources, you get better results. By visiting the American Association of Private Lenders website, you will find the resources to put more deals together, but better deals. Who doesn't want to improve their bottom line? To find a credible private lending professional, visit AAPLonline.com today.
Hi, Kevin Ortner here, CEO of Renters Warehouse. I'm guessing that many of you might be considering a move. Maybe you need to relocate, maybe you're combining households, or maybe you already own investment property. Whether you have one home or a whole portfolio, my expert team at Renters Warehouse can help you perfectly price your property and rent it out fast, easy, and worry-free in just 17 days on average. For one low flat monthly fee, our professional landlords will manage your property 24/7. We collect the rent, we handle maintenance requests, inspections, all that regulatory red tape, and we'll even warranty our tenants for up to 18 months. That means if your tenant doesn't stay for any reason, Renters Warehouse will replace them for free. There's no upfront fees, no binding contracts, and you can cancel at any time. Go to renterswarehouse.com right now to book a free home rental price analysis and see what your home will rent for today. A professional landlord will visit your property and show you personally how to rent your home fast and for top dollar.
Find out how much your home will rent for. Renterswarehouse.com.
Would you like to know the easiest way to create wealth and passive income with real estate? Now you can access the best deals without the stress or hassle of having to find, renovate, or manage them. Narada Real Estate Investments saves you time by providing you with professionally managed income properties in the best U.S. markets. Learn more at PassiveRealEstateGuide.com and download your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing. Simply visit PassiveRealEstateGuide.com.
We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Abhi Golhar.
Think Realty Nation, it's Abhi Golhar. We're back. If you haven't picked up a copy of our magazine, make sure you do so. It's called Think Realty Magazine. It is on the shelves at Barnes & Noble. So make sure you swing on by, pick one up, read it, and you'll have some questions. So the best way to ask your question and to listen to some of the amazing shows that we've had here on Think Realty Radio is to go to thinkrealtyradio.com. My guest today is Lucas Krause, who's president of Real Property Management. You can visit Lucas and his team at realpropertymgt.com. You can also give them a call at 888-806-7088. Again, 888-806-7088. Lucas, that's like six eights in that phone number. That's awesome. Like, I wish I had a phone number like that. I think that would be kind of cool. Anyway, I'm jealous. All right.
Kudos to the marketing team. That's all you need to know. They did a great job securing an easier to remember number.
So there's a lot of opportunity in the SFR space right now. Can you talk to that a little bit and maybe provide a little guidance on where we can find some of this opportunity?
It's interesting because, as you know, inventories have been tightening up, since new construction hasn't picked up and some of those macro trends as the millennial generation is now starting to participate, not at rates of previous generation in home ownership. And so there's still value there, but it's different and you got to work a little harder for it. And so finding those markets where the cash on cash returns aren't as easy as they were, say, in 2012. And so there's, you know, as you look at it, it's kind of figuring out where you can find that value. The secondary and third tier markets haven't been, as bought up. So there's great opportunities there as you get to, I won't say rural, but not as large metro, you know, major metros. Mm-hmm. The other place you can find value is if you're handy, if a property needs a little work and if you're able to do that or you have great kind of relationships, that's the kind of not the low hanging fruit, but a lot of people will walk past it because it requires some sweat equity to be put into it. And so if there's a home in a great neighborhood, requires some work, that can be a great rental. Because I do look over the next 10, you know, say 5 to 10 years, there's going to be such a demand on rental properties and since it's scarcity, you're going to get a lot of great returns on just appreciation alone of holding on the asset for a longer time frame. The other place I think you need to look for it is tapping into your property manager, getting properties before they come online. Property managers manage for investors like yourself, and that what they do is you know, before they're going, you know, those individuals put those properties on the public market, there's a great opportunity where they know the property manager that these properties might be getting sold because an individual's nearing retirement wants to take some cash off the table. Mm-hmm. The other is being a part of, as you know, investment groups and communities where there are life changes. And so you can get these properties before they kind of hit the open market and they have a track record. So you can, it's pretty easy to run a pro forma and you know what you're getting into. And so that's kind of where our investors have been going to find value over the last, I'd say, you know, 12 to 18 months.
I'm a huge fan, like huge, huge fan of your secondary, tertiary markets, just because I can spend less, I can invest less and get a little more bang for my buck. I live in Atlanta, so I'll take a look at like Montgomery, Alabama, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Well, Chattanooga's on fire, but like you can take a look at, for example, maybe Jackson, Tennessee, the Western Tennessee uh-huh. area, even Greenville, South Carolina. But you're right about the primary markets as well. You just have to look in the right places. What's your overall outlook on the real estate market currently, maybe also the broader economy? You have, from what I understand, like I've been reading about you online as well, you seem to have this crystal ball that nobody else has, and I'm stuck with a snow globe. So you're going to have to help me out in figuring out where this economy is headed and locally what I should be paying attention to.
Well, I appreciate the credit there, but I don't want to say I have a crystal ball. We try to read and consume as much as possible and pay a lot for different reports and to see where the broader economy, and as you know, there's always different reports. And so you take the data points and you try to extrapolate. And fortunate enough for us is, you know, with over 60,000 assets, we have a lot of data points on what we see too. And so you really mix that together to get your kind of best projections. And, you know, as we look at the broader economy, it looked like that we're going to come into a slowdown here in 2019. But if you read most economists and what indicators you see, it looks like that's going to get pushed out to 2020, if not maybe even later into 2021. So I think that's encouraging for a lot on a lot of different fronts. If we look at on the real estate side, you know, I see a little deceleration going on. If you look at transaction for existing home sales, that's been slowing up. If you look at home prices in most markets, that has been slowing up. It's still growing. And we saw rental rates, not only within our system, but nationwide, starting to slow down. And so, you know, kind of best estimate is that we may see a minor kind of, I'll say, correction in late 2019, mm-hmm. but I think it'll be extremely short-lived because what's happening is it just needs to slow up a little because home prices have just outpaced wage growth. Mm-hmm. But in the grand scheme of things, the fundamentals are still strong if you look at supply relative to demand. There's not inventory there. So if there is even a minor slowdown for a few months, late Q and Q4, it's going to be short-lived because the demand is still there and supply just doesn't exist. So just simple economics, we're going to be strong on the real estate side.
Do you feel that paying attention to some of these major media outlets and saying, well, housing appreciation is down 50% from this time last year, and as a result, we're entering a very unstable real estate market. Is that something that I need to be paying attention to as a real estate investor? Is there anything credible there?
I think you should always pay attention to all the data points and collect it and understand that, you know, with the 24-hour news cycles, you're going to see a lot more hyperbole, right? That's not going to sell or get attention if I just say, oh, you know what? You might see a little slowdown, not a big deal, a little bump, and then we'll come right back, right? That's not exciting. That's not going to catch headlines. And so you have to be on the extremes. And so I think a lot of the news outlets might be, you know, kind of clickbait or trying to find headlines. I do look at the fundamentals, and I'm bullish on it if you look at it for a 5 to 10 year horizon on what's going to happen with real estate. I also scared because I think there's a scarcity element that makes sure that we have enough supply. But I do think there is elements where you look at the fundamentals that, you know, some slowing down. But I think that's more of a product of just, you know, interest rates have increased. There's not a lot of entry level inventory coming online. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you see transactions going down, you have a millennial generation who's now trying to start households and they're unable to purchase. And so it's more of this higher end inventory. So I think it's worth taking those data points and piecing it together and kind of understanding why you're seeing some of this slow up. It might not be a fundamental weakness in the economy. It might be just a factor of what inventory is there and that home prices have gotten out of reach. You know, the entry level home is non-existent almost on the inventory side.
That's
so
right.
I think those are the factors why you're seeing some deceleration in my opinion.
Do you think that the so in Atlanta, I was looking at some of these statistics, and as the market was heating up, there was a lot of saturation in home prices that were being renovated, rehabbed between say $500 and like all the way up to maybe your $800,000, $850,000. There wasn't a lot of play, even though there was a major need. There wasn't a whole lot of play in your first time home buyer kind of home prices, right? Your 100s, the 150, all the way maybe up to 250. And then when the market locally here started to increase and get hotter, you had now higher cost of construction, higher cost of labor, higher cost of permits or length of times for permits and labor, capital as well. Mm-hmm. And now you have your first time home buyer that's coming around saying, hey, I want to buy, but there's not enough out there. And that's presenting a little bit of a challenge, especially for your millennials that, I mean, I want to get a home, but I can't because I can't find anything that makes sense. So we got to go to break. Think about that during the break. And if you're listening, maybe you have an answer. Get in touch. Go to thinkrealtyradio.com. Ask the question. Leave a comment. And we'll discuss it right here on Think Realty Radio in the future. In the meantime, visit Lucas and his team at Real Property Management. Super easy way to do that. Go to realpropertymgt.com. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Abhi Golhar after these messages.
National Real Estate Insurance Group is the industry leader in providing coverage customized for investors. We insure occupied, vacant, and renovation properties across all 50 states, can combine all properties on one schedule, and offer convenient pay-as-you-go monthly billing. Visit NREIG.com today for your free custom proposal. That's National Real Estate Insurance Group at NREIG.com or call 888-741-8454, 888-741-8454.
Where are successful investors turning for the latest news, trends, and insights in real estate? Think Realty Magazine. Sign up for your investor-level membership at thinkrealty.com today to start receiving Think Realty Magazine delivered to your door and inbox every month. Boost your competitive advantage with news from the nation's leading investors, market updates, the hottest investment strategies, and more. Take the next step toward building more wealth. Sign up today at thinkrealty.com.
Need a fast, reliable decision-making tool in today's real estate landscape? RentFacts combines real estate expertise and data to deliver decision-making tools for real estate pros. Investors, lenders, or property managers, RentFacts can determine rents and reliability of income for specific neighborhoods, forecast gross and net income in seconds. Find out how RentFacts can predict and compare how demographics, economics, crime, and other location factors affect the stability of your rental with a risk score. Go to RentFactsPro.com. RentFactsPro.com.
Savvy investors make use of smart savings. Think Realty Radio listeners, you have the opportunity to save smart with Sherwin-Williams Paint. Sign up for your free Think Realty membership now and activate discounts to save up to 50% off of select Sherwin-Williams Paint. Rehabbers, investors, property managers, this is your opportunity to save big for your next project. Start saving up to 50% now. Go to thinkrealty.com/paint and then click discounts.
We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Abhi Golhar.
We're back, Think Realty Nation. It's Abhi Golhar. You're listening to Think Realty Radio. Want to catch us online? Super easy. Go to thinkrealtyradio.com. My call and guest today is Lucas Kraus, president of Real Property Management. You can visit them at realpropertymgt.com. Lucas, before the break, I was talking about this price point that's a really tough price point for your first-time home buyers to have a lot of success in. And generally, when I'm buying something for the first time, I'm not going to shell out $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000 for a house, unless I have a rich uncle or mom and dad or something, which in my case, I don't. So let's say, for example, it's my first house, and I want to buy, say, $150,000, $200,000, $250,000 home. those are very difficult to come by. Is it because during the flipping age, I suppose, of this market or of your local market, because there's no real national real estate market, just indicators, but let's just say you're paying attention to Atlanta. Is it because during the flipping time, these flippers were only – like they wanted to maximize profit, so they're going after your $500,000, $800,000 homes and not paying attention to the lower end of the spectrum?
Like anything, there's a ton of factors, and that's one factor that contributes it. And so you have this tight supply is probably one of the biggest drivers. And so you have this issue where, you know, new construction fell off a cliff after the housing recession, right? The Great Recession. And so a lot of those individuals were unable to, you know, to continue to ramp up and build inventory. And so we're still at new construction rates of like the 90s. And so you have, you know, these companies who are building and they're not able to build kind of entry level homes because they're only, instead of producing maybe 250, 500, you know, 300 homes, they're building 75. And so they're skewing towards a higher end. And the reason is because the cost for materials have gone up quite a bit and the cost for labor, and there's a scarcity of kind of skilled labor. And so that just kind of amplifies that the new inventory coming online, you're not seeing these big neighborhoods with kind of starter home prices, which kind of amplifies like what you said is those assets already got gobbled up and maybe got moved from a starter home to high end finishes because there's more margin in that. And then you have no new inventory coming online. Saddle that, you know, then you have millennial generation who's coming in saddled with more debt than anywhere else because of the, you know, the cost for education's gone up, and you get this kind of perfect storm of this void of entry level homes. And you have a generation who's starting to try to join and find an entry point into the real estate market who's struggling. And so that's why that secondary and that tertiary markets, as you mentioned, there's still some value there, where this is played out in a much grander scale in the Atlantas, like you said, in those larger markets.
Student loan debt is a very interesting topic, and I know we've talked about it, but I keep going back to it because it's unbelievable how much of a factor that plays in the first-time home buyer's ability or inability to get a home loan. If you take a look at, say, my alma mater, the University of Michigan, out-of-state tuition every year is roughly, well, tuition, room and board, everything just all included, is roughly $60,000 a year times four is $250,000 for a four-year education. Are you kidding me? Right? So when you – no wonder graduates are leaving with a negative net worth.
And it's been reinforced, right? It's part of who we are and saying, oh, no, get your education, get your degree. It's a great thing. And then you have – you know, oh, well, student debt's good debt. And how many times have you heard that? And so there's almost no price elasticity there, where the universities have been able to continue to raise their prices. And it's almost been a bit of a hazard where, okay, well, students are still going there and doing it, and they may not be in the financial position because it's kind of this deferred pain. And that's happened over the last 20 years, and it's only scary to the thought of what education is going to be 10 years from now or 20 years if this continues.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You talk about even like loan forgiveness programs and things like this. I don't know what's going to happen there, but I'm getting a little off track. In terms of some of the trends in the property management space, what are you seeing out there? What do we need to be aware of?
Well, I think you have a few things. It's becoming, you know, the secret's getting out, and that property management is a great space to participate, especially as we go shift and have this kind of renter mentality, this renter nation, that there are individuals who have needs for this service. And so what you're seeing is a lot more competitors getting into the space, which I think is a great thing, and seeing our competitors that mature. What it does is kind of steel sharpens steel and everyone getting better. And so now that, you know, there's more professional property management companies out there and have that feel, what you're going to see is the investor is going to be the beneficiary, because you have to look and feel different. And so I think that's what's great, is it's kind of requiring everyone to up their game and provide a more compelling or differentiated offering to the investors. So I think that at a macro level, that's what's happening in our space. And I think it's going to be a great thing, because these are very interesting businesses if you look at the economics of it. And the nice thing is now more embracing technology, because quite for some time, I'm not saying there weren't professionals, but there wasn't that competitive pressure to really refine or get better, because you know what? I was your guy or your gal who managed your properties.
Yep.
And I didn't face much competitive pressure. So I think it's going to be a great thing for the industry. And it's going to be even better for investors as, you know, the services are just going to get enhanced.
In terms of value, super competitive market for investors to be playing in today. How should I find value?
Yeah, it's kind of going back to what we talked about a little bit earlier of where do you find value and how do you, what you're looking at returns. You know, we spoke about those secondary markets might be more compelling on cash returns, where if you look at very desirable markets, you might have to look at your investment a little differently and say, okay, there might be more appreciation value here because it's the equivalent of beachfront property and there's only so much beachfront property.
Mm-hmm.
So those are kind of the areas. I think it's being far more proactive in looking for those properties. You have to hunt a little more. You know, the nice thing is technology's made it easier for investors to find properties across the country, but that's also the downside is that you have more folks competing with you for those assets. And so using, you know, those web resources are very valuable, but how are you networking? How are you getting part of investment clubs and groups where you might find properties that might come available that might not be available to the public, or even as I mentioned earlier with your property manager, it's really hunting and even targeting neighborhoods. There's also, you know, direct mail campaigns that you could do if you have a neighborhood that you're targeting and people who fit that profile that you want, that you kind of want to invest in those neighborhoods and kind of solicit opportunities to purchase homes. So to me, it's more shifting towards a hunter mentality because you just got to, you know, it's there, but you got to work a little harder to find that value.
The hunter mentality. What do you think about probate leads, out of curiosity? Like probate leads, tax liens, some of these super niched areas that not a lot of people are interested in looking at because it's too much work.
It's kind of like anything. I think there's great opportunity in there, but I think you do what you've nailed is it increases the degree of difficulty. As we mentioned about using leverage, how that's a great model. It's just one of those to make sure that you know what you're doing and that you have, you know, adequate coverage as you jump into some of those things, because they can be great opportunities, but buyer beware on what you're potentially getting.
Yeah, and also buyer beware in terms of the overall process and how long it's going to take. Now, recently, one of my friends purchased a couple of tax liens in Alabama, but without doing the research, guess what happened? Like, the tax liens in Alabama are vastly different than tax liens and tax deeds in Georgia. Now he's stuck holding this tax lien for years and has no idea, like, how to get his money back out. And I said, you didn't pay attention to the rules. All right, we got to go to break in a second. What's the best way that our listeners can get in touch if they have any questions about either migrating a portfolio over to a real property management and just having that conversation about what good property management looks like?
I think the easiest way is just go to our website, realpropertymgt.com. That way we can connect you with one of our local 330-plus offices.
Awesome. We got to go to break. The last segment of Think Realty Radio is coming right back up. It's the last 10 minutes, so you got to pay attention, get some notes, and get in touch. Go to realpropertymgt.com to get in touch with Lucas, Think Realty Radio to get in touch with me, and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Abhi Golhar after these messages.
Real estate notes give you immediate cash flow without tenants, repairs, or property taxes. With PaperSourceOnline.com, you buy a note, you become the banker, you decide how much interest you'll earn, and bankers never get phone calls from tenants. How do you get started? Take the free e-course by Bill Mancaro of The Paper Source. Bill's been buying notes for over 30 years. Bill has the heart of a teacher and wants you to succeed. Sign up for Bill's free e-course now at PaperSourceOnline.com. That's PaperSourceOnline.com.
You have to play the percentages when you invest in real estate. Win the percentage game with Angel Oak Prime Bridge. Whether it's fix and flips as low as 8% or landlord financing starting at 5.5%, Angel Oak Prime Bridge wins with a customer-focused approach to your business. Go to aopbconnect.com to see how you can win at the percentage game with Angel Oak Prime Bridge. And introducing our new wholesale partner program available at aopbconnect.com. The secret to winning at the percentage game.
Time, wealth, purpose. Three things you'll gain on your real estate investment journey with Think Realty. If you want to get serious about real estate investing, you can't miss the next Think Realty event close to you. Think Realty events are packed with local and national experts for you to network with and grow your business. We have four events lined up for 2019, so register today. Text RADIO to 96270 to find the next Think Realty event near you, or visit thinkrealty.com.
Would you like to know the easiest way to create wealth and passive income with real estate? Now you can access the best deals without the stress or hassle of having to find, renovate, or manage them. Narada Real Estate Investments saves you time by providing you with professionally managed income properties in the best U.S. markets. Learn more at PassiveRealEstateGuide.com and download your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing. Simply visit PassiveRealEstateGuide.com.
We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Abhi Golhar.
All right, Think Realty Nation, we are back. It's your host, Abhi Golhar. My guest today, Lucas Krause with Real Property Management. Check him out. Go to realpropertymgt.com. So we've talked about so many things so far in the show. We've talked about opportunities for single-family rentals, outlook on Lucas's outlook on the real estate market and the broader economy, what trends he's seeing in the property management space, and, of course, how to find value in today's hyper-competitive market. Let's kind of shift the conversation a little bit, Lucas, to technology in property management and the industry as a whole. Where is it going? Well, give us maybe a little history lesson. Where was it? Where is it now? And where is it going? And what are your thoughts about that?
Without boring everyone for where it was, it's very antiquated.
Yeah,
back
I
to
know.
As I talked about being not overly competitive, there just wasn't competitive pressure. Unlike kind of our, I'd say our cousin industry, like the large multifamily, where there's been a lot of investment because it's scale, single family is kind of fallen under the radar a little bit. And so there hasn't been that pressure. And so, as I mentioned, with the competitive pressures coming into play, you're seeing far more investment and individuals seeing that there is an opportunity here. And so now I think you just see it as you join, you know, within our group and all that, some of the competitive set and even the associations around property management, you're seeing this embracing technology and this mindset. And so it's been really fun to see, because if you look at technology kind of from a property management standpoint, there's a few things going on. You're seeing, you know, digitizing everything that's going on, whether it be simple things as electric signatures or digitally capturing all the tasks and different activities. That's kind of where it's at today. And it's so that, you know, better outcomes for the investor so that things don't slip through the cracks, you know, and your property management company is responsive. And that's been this first wave. What you're hearing and seeing is AI is kind of this next frontier, and you're hearing about it everywhere. And so I think what you're going to see is some of the first applications that are being tested right now is processing invoices and some of those kind of manual keying entries. And that's going to be a big value because there is a dedicated resource a lot of times to processing bills or invoices on work orders. And so there's a lot of tests going on there. And I think that'll be very valuable because that'll allow property managers to manage more efficiently and pass those savings on to the investor clients. Where I see AI kind of that next phase graduating to is really organizing some of the communication on the front end and be almost that initial filter for routine correspondence, which ultimately will save time for all parties involved. And so you're starting to see some elements of that where you might be interacting and you think, whether it be through text or email, as a resident or even a homeowner, and it will filter those calls or emails wherever they need to go, so that it gets to the right person rather than having a directory or able to troubleshoot maybe something where it's like, oh, here's the additional information you need. And so I think that'll be very interesting as that kind of streamlines some of how the correspondence occurs, which again will drive the cost structure down, and I think will be benefit obviously the investors.
So blockchain has been on the hot topic list for quite a while. Do you think blockchain has a place in the property management space, or do you think that's still a little far-fetched?
No, I think there's an application. I just, you know, and obviously, you know, the blockchain concept, without going too deep into it, is right about more about securing, decentralizing elements for security purposes. There's obviously great benefit when you look at it for exchanging like cash in some of these third world countries where maybe it's, you know, the dollar is a lot more difficult to get to. For us, there's probably great ways for, you know, the interaction with investors and the resident side. And finding ways to, you know, kind of manage kind of the transfer of funds. So I do think the applications, I just don't think it'll be nearly as revolutionary as it could be in some other applications. A big proponent of, I think, where AI goes and takes us, because I think if you're able to streamline operations, which is a very labor-intensive kind of support of these assets and, you know, rental properties, I think that's going to have the biggest impact, at least in the near future, for the investors.
I'm a huge fan of seeing where blockchain is going to go, especially for real estate, because this could take away a lot of the confusion, say, with title, for example, and many other things. So we still have a very exciting 5 or 10 years before some of this technology really starts to even mature. So definitely pay attention to some of these trends. In terms of tenants, what kind of impact does this technology have on tenants? Is it a good impact? Is it a bad impact? Is there a potential financial benefit to the property owner as a result of using some of this tech and AI?
I think it's what you're trying to do is create a frictionless experience for the resident. And so it's always going to be benefit, I think, the investor if you can make your property very appealing and easy to do business with. And so by opening up the avenues to create more ways for, I'll say, residents to pay, that makes your property far more attractive than someone else. And you're going to have to think in terms of that, right? Because you are competing. How can you command a higher rent? And these are all attributes to bring to the table. You know, with our partnership, we have some other creative ways where, you know, not only if individuals who may not have traditional banking relationships can go and pay through 7-Eleven locations with some relationships and things like that. And we've found that's been very helpful in making those properties more attractive to potential residents. And so to me, anything you can do to make it more appealing to the resident or easier for them or frictionless to pay, that just gives you a leg up, whether it's utilized or not. We're always competing and make, you know, for either that next resident or to make our property command a higher rent.
For a real estate investor looking to grow a portfolio, I'm always interested in learning about the property management offices as business. Can you tell me a little more about what that means and how I can leverage property management accordingly?
Mm-hmm. Well, property management businesses are really at its core an outsourced solution. Our whole business and the way we model, we believe we're in the business of wealth generation. What we want is to allow individuals to be freed up so that they can focus on finding value in investment properties and allow us to manage it. Or, as you mentioned earlier, get more capital so they can buy more properties, whether they're a professional. And this is kind of their, you know, wealth generation strategy alternative to investing in the market. As a business model, what we have found is we find individuals who are attracted to come into the property management space because it's kind of an initial way to participate in real estate without putting the capital out there to invest in properties, because it's more of a service-based business. So that's kind of at the core of what the business is. And so, you know, as you look at it, it is a predictable kind of income compared to the brokerage side. It's far more operational, because you're managing the logistics of getting the resident in, collecting the rent, the accounting side of it, coordinating repairs and maintenance. And so you compare it to the brokerage, which is far more transactional. But on the other side of it, it's far more predictable revenue, because you're collecting a percentage of rent, and this is a reoccurring revenue stream as you have a portfolio across, you know, if you have 500 homes, maybe you have 350 different homeowners. So it's nice and attractive because you have some diversity there. If individuals decide to liquidate or sell their investment, it's a very compelling space because you have that predictability, but you also have that diversity in client mix. And so it's a great way to participate, maybe without having to put the capital at risk to buy a property, or on the transactional side, if you're looking at brokerage businesses, mm-hmm. that you kind of have the ebbs and flows, it's far more predictable revenue.
Why should I consider hiring property management when, let's say, as I'm building a portfolio, I mean, you know, I'm paying somebody else to do all this stuff. And that's a loss of money that would be going to my bottom line. Anyway, some main reasons why I should go ahead and grab a manager?
I think it's important to understand what your objectives are. I think property management, it may not be for every person. If you're an individual and you will like doing that work and you're handy and that's your full-time job, I get that. But it does get to a point where it gets to a size where you can't manage all of it if you have ambitions to continue to grow.
Right.
It's the simple outsource equation of if you want to ultimately, grow your portfolio and you need to spend in time, you're not fixing toilets, turning a wrench.
Right.
That's really what it comes down to. Or even trying to coordinate that and making sure you're landing of coordinating that repair, make sure you can access the home with the resident so that you can access that home. There's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes. The first and foremost, I think, is where your objectives are and what you want to be spending your time, what your hourly rate is. Then it's obviously having a professional to make sure that you're able to command the highest rent and avoid, costly mistakes. And those are kind of the main reasons.
And that's exactly why you need real property management in your life. Lucas, thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate the insight. It was very, very helpful.
I appreciate it. It's a great time, as always.
You got it. Go to realpropertymgt.com, get in touch with Lucas and team, and start to build your single-family rental portfolio the right way. Until next time, happy investing.
The show is over, but Abhi's expertise is available for you 24/7 at thinkrealtyradio.com. Think Realty Radio, a real estate of mind, online at thinkrealtyradio.com.